Hello there, and happy Friday to the Take Two family. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show. We're live today on this beautiful The Real Presence show for on this first Friday of the month, where we are highlighting and sharing our love and our understanding for the Most Holy Eucharist. So your show is important because you've tuned in, right? So it must be important to you. Well, it's important to other people as well, because they're listening all around the world. So if you love the Eucharist, if you just went to First Friday Mass, like my husband just did this morning, I'm going after the show. And so you want to share with the world how our Lord and Savior, in the most beautiful way, coming to us through the Eucharist, please do it on this show for The Real Presence. And here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. Fill up those phone lines, guys. Don't get started with your weekend yet. 833-288-3986. Now, we have a special guest in studio. That's right. He's in Irondale, Alabama studios, EWTN studios right now. Father Patrick, one of our friars, is with us in studio, and he's going to share with us what we need to know about St. Francis of Assisi coming up on the feast day. So I'm so excited that he is going to join us for this first segment of Take Two. So Father Patrick, welcome.
Thank you, Debbie. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so tell us what's happening, because we love St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, so do I. He's a wonderful saint and has drawn many people. So for us, the feast begins the day before on the 3rd. So actually this afternoon, our friars will be traveling up to Hanceville to celebrate with our sisters, the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. We have what's called the Transitus ceremony, which basically is Vespers or evening prayer, and we commemorate the death of St. Francis. So it begins with this reading of the account of his death. And we pray the Psalms. And in fact, in the middle of it, we pray Psalm 142, which was prayed as St. Francis himself died. So that's like a candlelit prayer service of Vespers, of evening prayer. And it concludes with the blessing of the relic of St. Francis, and we're able to venerate the relic of St. Francis. So it's a great way to celebrate his big feast day tomorrow on the 4th.
So it's more than just the blessing of the animals, correct,
Father Patrick? That's right. I do have to say, too, because that's what I think most people think of St. Francis. They think
exactly.
Of the animals. He did certainly have a great love for the beauty of creation and animals. But what needs to be straightened out, too, is that although he loved the beauty of creation, he didn't worship creation,
right?
That he saw them as like a means to lift the mind and heart to God. So that certainly is what we can do. And we see the beauty of creation, beautiful animals that God created, should lift us up to the creator of them.
Mm. Wow. Powerful. When I was in Assisi, I could have lived there forever. It is so amazing. And to know that St. Carlo Acutis is right there as well, and he was so close to St. Francis of Assisi, so was Padre Pio, that just love. Well, he is isn't he the most popular saint?
He is one of them, most certainly known as the seraphic saint. But I think it just gets to just the fact that he just tried to simply live the gospel. You know, he grew up in a very comfortable lifestyle, but after a while started questioning, and he wasn't satisfied. And he had all these little experiences which culminated in this powerful experience he had in the church, you know, where the Lord spoke to him from the crucifix, go rebuild my church. But when it came down to it, he didn't see the gospel as like some record book, you know, of what happened a thousand years ago in the past, but he saw this is how we should be living. You know, we need to conform our lives to Christ. And so he just tried to, if Christ did it, he wanted to do it. You know, he just wanted to simply imitate Christ. And when we're doing that, that draws, the saints are like magnets, you know, that people are drawn to God's grace working through the power of his saints. And so when St. Francis just simply tried to live the gospel, it drew and inspired other men and women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love how you just said that. I could listen to you forever. So, Father Patrick, let me ask you a question. So today is our show, our monthly show on the real presence of, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist. We like to shout it to the heavens, that how much we love the source and summit of our Christian life, the Eucharist. What do you think about that? And how can you relate this to St. Francis of Assisi?
St. Francis had a great love for the Eucharist. In fact, it started very simply when he would go around and he would find a church, especially he got upset when he would go in the church, he saw that they were dirty. He himself would sweep out the churches. He wanted them clean because this is the house of God where the Blessed Sacrament, where Christ's Eucharistic presence is there for us. So he'd begin with simply cleaning the churches, and he would urge the priests and his orders, he said, to reverence above all the body and blood of Christ of our Lord. So he certainly emphasized that to the friars, that we are to love above all the Lord's Eucharistic presence, and that we should have clean churches. And we see that in one of his spiritual daughters, Mother Angelica, right? That building beautiful churches for the glory of God, that the churches should, these again, temples of the houses of God, houses of prayer, they house the most blessed sacrament, which should increase our devotion, our love for the Lord in the Eucharist.
Wow. So it's so wonderful to be Catholic, isn't it, Father?
Amen. Yeah, it surely is.
So when did you, just so we can get to know you better, mm-hmm. When were you ordained? And can you give us the real quick in 1 minute, your ordination story?
1 minute version? Certainly. So I was ordained in 2012. I entered the community 10 years before that in 2002. But actually tying this back into the Eucharist too, when I was a college student, my family and I visited the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament a year after it was opened. And I felt the call of the priesthood during the Mass. It was during the Christmas Midnight Mass that I really felt this clear and peaceful and calm pull toward the priesthood. But it was in the context of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Eucharist, just the reverence shown toward the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. It does wonders. It certainly drew me to discern the priesthood and religious life.
I love it. Father, I'm going to put you on the spot. I was told by my producer and other people I shouldn't do this on air, but I'm going to do it because I think I know your answer. Would you be willing to come back for a full show? Because I want to tap into your vocation story in detail and to maybe help other young men as they are discerning the priesthood. What do you say?
I would love to. I'd be happy to.
Good. Okay, good. I knew. See, Michael, my producer, it worked. We got him to say yes. But Father, we've got about 30 seconds. Ahead of time, normally we ask our priest to give a blessing at the end of the show, but you have to get ready for confessions That's right. You need to hear. So would you give us a quick blessing
Absolutely.
On this beautiful day of First Friday?
Yes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you kindly and grant you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Patrick. You are amazing, and we'll get you on the calendar, and Michael will schedule you in, because I just think we need to promote vocations even more now, and we need to talk about it and spend an entire hour really going into the details, and we can learn that from fine priests like Father Patrick. Father Patrick, thank you again. You hear the music. We're going to take that first break. When we come back, Cecilia is with us. She's been waiting all week to tell her story, her St. Michael story, so we want to hear from her and the others when we come back. We sure hope you join us for this Real Presence show, where we dedicate the whole entire episode, this live episode, with your calls all about the Most Holy Eucharist. And we want to thank Father Patrick again, giving us a preview of the celebration for the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, a very popular saint that we love. And also he gave us a little teaser about his vocation story, and we're going to have him back on a future show of Take Two, so that's exciting. This is a wonderful opportunity here for you to weigh in now and share your story. Cecilia is going to get a Patience and Perseverance Award from us. It's a virtual award because she's amazing. She worked every single day this week to get on the show, and she's going to be our first caller talking about a story, because remember, this is like Angel Week, right? We started Monday with the Feast of the Archangels. We had the Guardian Angels yesterday, and it's jam-packed with a powerhouse of saints, as we know, and it's just so wonderful. So we're going to continue those stories. However, this show is dedicated all about the Most Holy Eucharist. So if you went to First Friday Mass, if you practiced that devotion, please call in and share why you love and why you stay so close to our Lord in the Eucharist. Before we get to Cecilia, hold on one more second, Cecilia. You'll get extra brownie points in heaven. Don't worry. I wanted to share this about Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica. Cultivating a faithful heart for Christmas with Mother Angelica. Regardless of what pain or burden you may be carrying, Mother Angelica invites you to discover the lasting peace and happiness found in the child who is coming, and offers you ways to add straw to his manger. These meditations are drawn from the finest episodes of Mother's popular television show, in which she offers penetrating advice on how to set Christ at the at the vibrant center of your holiday celebrations. And so I just wanted to share a couple things of how this looks because it's so beautiful. Like, for instance, the secret to maintaining an authentic spirit of Christmas during busy preparations, the best gifts you can give to Jesus and others, ways to counter materialism and really get into why the reason for the season, not just season's greetings, right? So there's so much more. So Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica, cultivating a faithful heart for Christmas with Mother Angelica, available now at EWTNRC.com. I keep telling you guys this, start shopping now. I've been to EWTNRC.com 3 times this week. I love it. Okay, Cecilia, you got that virtual award. We're going to send it to Michigan, and you're listening on Annunciation Radio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's been a great week, and I love October. So full of great feast days and celebrations. So happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we're happy you are with us. I was sharing with my producer that, you know, you definitely get the Patience and Perseverance Award. And I know that it's not necessarily centered around the Eucharist, but we wanted to give you this opportunity. We didn't want to close the week, and we wanted to make sure all Take Two family members got to participate. So we're going to turn our attention to your story. You tell us it.
Thank you. So I had struggled for a long time, many years, with a couple of sins that I just felt like I couldn't overcome. I was having a really hard time, and it was just making me, you know, feel sick about myself because I would confess it, and then I would fall again, and I just felt really discouraged. And I'd, of course, apologize to God many times, but I'd never thought until earlier this year that my angels were also there, and I say angels plural. I know most people only have one, and I'm not sure that I have more than one, but there are lots of angels around all the time. But I'll get into the plural angels when I get into the encounter I kind of felt I had. But anyway, so at least one guardian angel is watching me all the time, and so I felt this urge to apologize to the angels just because I felt so sad and so bad that they had to watch me fall and make the same mistakes over and over. And I was heartbroken as I prayed, and I just said, I'm so sorry, angels. I'm so sorry. I was walking through the woods when I prayed this prayer, and I suddenly felt as if there were two angels, at least two, but like an angel on either side of me. I felt this presence of love on either side of me, and almost like they were embracing me. Mm-hmm. And I was weeping at that point. I felt like they also were weeping in a way, like they were just feeling my emotions with me and feeling so much love and compassion, and like they just understood what I'd been through and how hard it had been. Mm-hmm. And there was just nothing but love and grace in that moment. And wow. Just that was incredible. I'd never experienced anything quite like that before. Mm. And so wow. From that point onward, it's not that I've overcome this sin entirely, but it's definitely lessened. And every time I remember that the angels are there, just calling that to mind, it makes it so much easier to avoid the temptations. And I also want to say that part of the struggle I was going through was related to the fact that I was in a bad work environment that I just felt like it really encouraged the wrong mindset and kind of got me into that kind of sin that I was struggling with. And not too long after this whole encounter, I was able to leave that job and start a couple of part-time jobs. And one of them is actually cantering at a church.
Wow.
That is called St. Michael, St. Michael
goodness.
The Archangel.
Okay.
And it was so beautiful. So I just wanted to share that part too, because it's been like a new chapter in my life. And I know that the angels are involved in that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you see how God puts the puzzle pieces together and then provides you the confirmation to affirm in you that it is true? Isn't that beautiful? Wow.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, Cecilia. I love it. You are just, that's amazing. So now, your love for the angels, if you were to share with somebody, which you are right now, somebody who's listening is saying, I don't understand. I really just don't understand how they truly have helped you in your spiritual life. What would you say to them? What would be like the nugget, the elevator kind of speech of conveying to people who are just putting their toe in the water about the angels? What would you say? Maybe what's your takeaway?
Yeah, I guess just never forget that as Christians, we believe in the spiritual realm, and that spiritual realm is very personal. It's not just the Lord, but it's also all the angels and saints. And since they're here, why not, you know, involve them since they are already involved? Mm-hmm. And the angels are specifically there to minister to us and to bring us to heaven. So just to not acknowledge them, to not take advantage of their presence seems like such a mistake. And I can attest to how loving they are. We don't always feel that. We don't always feel their presence. But just that little glimpse I had, it made me so excited to meet them, honestly, in heaven.
It's pretty amazing. So you've had your own personal understanding, your own personal encounters with the angels, and they have helped you stay on that on the straight and narrow, right, on the course of making good choices for yourself. Well, this absolutely confirms so many things that I have shared on this show and other hosts have as well about angels. You know, they're there, like you said, to minister to us. What does that mean, to minister to us? Well, they're there to illuminate our mind and strengthen our will, right? They go into deep prayer when we sin, right? Because they're trying to remedy the situation. They're trying to get us so that we can become alert and realize where we're headed, what the choices we're making are not good for ourselves, so that we can come back to center. And it's really, it's a beautiful dance that happens, right? If people engage their angels. And it sounds like with you, and God is even putting forth, you know, additional things for you to do by way of ministry, like cantering and things of that nature. God is actually saying to you, now take that forth and really share with your gifts and talents, but also with your words and your story that you're doing today. So Cecilia, kudos to you. I think it's beautiful. The thing about the angels, you know, everybody's going to have a different feel about the angels, a different, maybe even a somewhat of an encounter. The one thing that I want to say, because this is like the angel week, I want to just say that it's very important we don't require them to communicate with us. They have a job, like you just said, Cecilia. They are ministering to us. We have a job to cooperate. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really...
Yeah, I hadn't even done much prayers addressed to them specifically. I know there are like traditional prayers, but just maybe I felt a little overly cautious to reach out because I was aware of that. There's a little bit of a boundary there that you don't want to like get too obsessed with the interaction side of it. But just to know they're there and we do have the right to call on them is really comforting.
And to ask for their assistance as we carry a lot with us in this world, as we're trying to get home, back home to God, and we're going to be met with a lot of resistance because the demons don't want us to go back to God. They want us to go to that fiery place. And so, you know, there's a lot coming at us, and the angels are there. I've said this many times, as our soul guards and our bodyguards, and we just love them so very much. And like you were talking about all the choirs of angels, you know, every angel has a mission. Every angel has a purpose. They have their jobs to do, and they've got a pretty extensive, intricate network working on, you know, on our behalf and also on the other side of the veil, because they're beholding the face of God and also ministering to us. Pretty powerful. Cecilia, anything else you wanted to share? Because you waited all week. I want to make sure I give you ample time. Anything else you wanted to share?
Thank you so much. No, I think that's it. I want to encourage people that there's always hope, and whatever sin you're struggling with, just, you know, keep bringing it to the Lord, keep bringing it to the church, and, you know, the saints and angels are there to help too.
Beautifully said. Call us anytime, okay? And make sure, just tell Matt Kabinsky that you're the one that got that virtual award, so you should always be pushed up to the front of the line, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your Friday and into the weekend as we continue the whole month of October being centered around the Rosary, of course, and just all these wonderful saints that are there, as Cecilia was saying, that are there to help us and to get us back home to God. So thank you again, Cecilia. Okay, so guys, now it's your turn. You need to share your story about the Most Holy Eucharist and how you feel about Jesus coming to you in a very personal way, very intimate way, as you go to Mass and you receive communion, right? We don't believe this is a symbol. This is Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it is so powerful, and it is so beyond intimate. That's the only word I could think of right now, but it's beyond intimate. It is so incredibly God's design for us to receive him and to stay connected with him in the most personal way. When we take something into our bodies, when we eat something, right? That is for us, right? That is for us. And that is so individual and so unique and so special. So if you have something to say about the Eucharist, I know I've said this many times. People ask me all the time, why am I Catholic? I say, because of the Eucharist. I say it every time. It's the source and summit of our Christian life. So if you would like to make this broadcast shine all the way up to heaven, I suggest you stop what you're doing. Don't get started with your weekend. I know we had a special guest real quickly. Father Patrick was with us talking about St. Francis of Assisi. And then Cecilia was talking about the angels. And I understand that. Okay. So we have a kind of a different themes running at the same time. But this show is dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist. That's why we titled it The Real Presence. It's done on the first Friday of every month. So let's talk about the Eucharist from many angles. So Michael P. just said this on YouTube. I'm waving to you, Michael. It is my understanding that St. Michael the Archangel is the patron saint of the Most Holy Eucharist. Am I correct? Michael, that's so interesting. Tradition has it, I believe, that St. Michael is the guardian of the Blessed Sacrament. That is correct. If you look at the, that is correct. That's my understanding too. I'll double check it after the show, but I've always been taught that. And that's why you'll see him in the sanctuary, the image or the statue of Saint Michael in the sanctuary of the churches, and then also certain prayers during the Mass. And I don't know if they're still, if the priests can still say them or not, but they used to invoke St. Michael. But anyway, that let's put that aside for a second. Just look at this from the Fatima standpoint. Okay. If you look at the Fatima children, okay. On, I believe it was it the second or third apparition? I'll have to double check that on the break, 'cause I don't have Jerry with me. So I have to do, I'm hosting and researching at the same time. I believe it was second or third apparition. St. Michael was the one that we believe gave the children the Eucharist. Okay, St. Michael was the one. So a lot of people don't realize that, the Fatima children. Fascinating. You know, really, people should dive in deeply. Actually, my co-host, Adam Bly, just got done writing a book on the history of the angels. It'll be out on Sophia Institute Press. And so we'll be able to highlight that, because he went into the deep details, the history of the angels and how this all came to be, of our understanding of the theology of angels, because there's so much we don't know. Okay, so I don't know if that answered it, Michael, but that was my understanding too, that St. Michael is the guardian of the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, we do have calls coming in. That's great. We're going to hit the pause button one more time, and then I've got some announcements for you, and I'm going to get back to the phones. Lots of things happening here on Take Two on this first Friday. But we are focused all around the Eucharist. And so I do want everybody to participate, so you can fill up those last open phone lines by calling 833-288-EWTN. I said it slowly. Excuse me. 833-288-3986. I got the hiccups. I don't know what's happening here. Okay. So it says here, yes. Okay. Thank you. I've got my ministry team helping me out here. During the third and final appearance in 1916, the angel held a host and a chalice. Okay. And that was the Blessed Sacrament. Okay. So that's interesting. So it is, everybody's weighing in on the third apparition of the angel of Fatima. So we'll get more details on that, but maybe we can do a whole show on Fatima. We should, coming up in, especially in this month of October. I'll be right back on the Eucharist. say one open phone line on this Real Presence edition of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I want to have that last phone line light up, please. We're talking about the Eucharist. Don't get started with your weekend yet. 833-288-3986. If you feel prompted by the Spirit, please call in like Cecilia did, and we're going to get to Mary next. Mary, don't go anywhere. Just wanted to do a shout out and congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, WTJW 93.1 FM, serving Jasper, Indiana, is celebrating 10 years with us. Congratulations to Steve and Linda Leagers and everyone at Tri-State Catholic Radio from your friends here at EWTN. Steve and Linda, great job, great work, going strong, beautiful, 10 years. I say this all the time, but just folks, think about how many souls that is reaching. It's incredible. If we want to populate heaven, if we want to expand heaven, well, we need to keep Catholic Radio going strong. Okay, Mary's going to be up first. Well, actually, Cecilia was, but Mary's going to be first talking about the Eucharist from the great state of Massachusetts on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Anytime I can talk about the Eucharist, I'm happy.
Okay, so I have a story. So I taught my daughter, I taught all three of my kids first communion class, but my daughter, this was 10 years ago, and I had my own little class, but then we also had, a group where we would all go together, and then the coordinator would talk and to us, and so she started talking about Eucharistic miracles and mm-hmm. about just different ones that have happened all over the world, and she was showing pictures of like blood in the Eucharist and all of that. So I was intrigued by that because I had never gone to adoration before, and then also at the same time as I'm teaching these kids that the bread that you're going to receive is actually Jesus. And I'm having my own doubts about that. Like, how is this actually happening? Right. So for the first time, I went to adoration at a chapel near me where you could actually go in there and open up the tabernacle, and it had a Eucharist in there that you could just go in and pray. And you were allowed to go in and do that. Mm-hmm. I know you're not really allowed to do that anymore. But so I was in there, and for the first time in adoration, just saying prayers and just staring at the bread and just think. I said in my head, Jesus, are you really in there? And it was at that moment that it was like a hologram of the shroud, of the face of the shroud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just sat there staring at it. I was just like, is there something in the glass that is making that hologram? Like, almost like in disbelief that mm-hmm. I was really seeing this. And I would look away and look back, and Jesus' face was still there. And so I just stared at it for a little while and then closed it and went home. Mm-hmm. And just didn't even really realize, like, how profound that experience was.
Right.
And then I looked online, like, is in adoration, do they have like a picture of Jesus' face in there online?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it really actually was kind of a mystical experience for me, and I became a Eucharistic minister after that. I bring communion to the sick, and my life has completely changed, and I never have doubted.
Right.
But that is actually Jesus in there. It gave me a little sneak peek.
yeah, mystical experience indeed. So, Mary, maybe this will make you feel really fantastic. You know, when a mystical experience happens to somebody, and it's very personal to them. Now, sometimes these encounters can happen when other people can see them as well, right? So people, you know, we know this with the documented Eucharistic miracles that have happened, you know, the ones that, especially the whole exhibit that St. Carlo Acutis put together, we know that God has revealed himself to one person, maybe a priest or a parishioner that was in doubt or had a brief moment of uncertainty certainty of the faith, and then God reveals himself, but other people can see it, right? Okay. But when you have a situation that's very personal to you, that only you have seen, you have witnessed, it left an impact on you, there can be a moment where you can go, okay, maybe I just, I don't know, thought of it. I wanted him to appear when I, right? Or, you know, I just kind of got into that mode of saying, you know, Lord, are you really present? And then I thought I saw something, you know, that can happen when it's such a personal, individual, mystical encounter. So I'm going to share this with you so it makes you feel really good. I have heard your story many, many times, and actually I have experienced something very similar.
Okay.
So that, yes. So that should confirm in you that it was indeed for you, okay, and it was real. You weren't, yeah, imagining it.
I don't share it. I don't share that often because I came home and I told my husband and I told my kids and they were like, are you schizophrenic? And I'm definitely not. I've never,
right,
you know,
right,
heard voices or seen things before. So that's it's reassuring that you hear this often and that you actually, it happened to you.
I do. And I don't, and here's the reason. Here's what I did. Cause I'm a very curious person, Maria. And I mean, Mary, Maria's up next. Mary, I'm a very curious person. And so I asked a lot of questions of people and I also spoke to a few, contemporary mystic, people that I know of this idea of why does this happen to certain people? Because not everybody experiences this and not everybody needs it and God doesn't choose it for everybody. It usually centers around, usually, and if there's a priest or bishop listening, please correct me if I'm wrong. Usually it centers around when somebody is having a little bit of, not even necessarily doubt. I know that's used a lot. Just a question, like what is this all about? Like, where is this for, you know, for real? Is this really not? And it's not, I shy away from the word doubt because I don't think any of us as Catholics, we intentionally want to doubt. We just want to know, how is this happening? You know, how is this really happening? And what can, you know, how does this pertain to me? You know, I'm just one little speck in the universe, right? And so when God chooses to reveal himself, there is a reason, Mary. There's a reason. And the reason is what you just shared. You said, I've never doubted again, and I'm an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. You see what I'm saying? So God knew he needed to connect with you, and he did that with me many years ago, you know, almost 22 years ago, when I was just feeling like, is this, you know, am I supposed to be feeling like this? What am I feeling like? I'm not sure I'm feeling anything. And it was this strange kind of, I didn't know what I was doing, if I was just going through all, you know, a robotic stage, an autopilot stage. And God felt the need to do that for me to wake me up saying, you know, hey, I'm really here. And so I just wanted to say to you, I am so grateful to God that he showed himself to you. And I am so incredibly grateful to God that you were receptive and it has stayed with you. What do you
say?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm glad that I called and shared this today.
Yeah. And here's one other thing, a little tip. Don't ever lose that experience because, not, like I said, not everybody gets it. I have heard it many times, but not everybody gets it. And people get other things. You know, other people need signs or symbols or things of that nature to keep them going. Or they may have it. It may be a confirmation about God through people. That comes a lot through God or the angels. Or, you know, we can go on and on. But if you do have a mystical encounter that is very personal to you, not everybody's going to understand it. Like your family's going to go, okay, why did you get that and we didn't get that? Or why did that happen to you? Or are you just imagining things? Or what's going on? Okay, are you taking some kind of medication or whatever? All right, that's not the point. The point is, don't ever lose it. Whenever you're feeling, whenever you are feeling down, depressed, lonely, sad, not sure, you know, whatever, close your eyes and you will go right back to that experience. Am I right? Can you close your eyes right now and you can actually see the face of Jesus?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And because it's been so long, I have, Like, I was going to Mass every day when that happened, like, for a couple of years. But, you know, because it's been so long, I just go to church on Sunday and kind of, like, take it for granted. But since, like, the Charlie Kirk effect,
right.
I have been going to Mass daily. And it's just, like, I just feel so much better and, like, more in touch and want to help more people and...
Yeah, but that's what he wants for you, and that's what he wants for you. So thank goodness you're back to that routine and that habit, because that's what it is. It's a habit, right? We have to make the choice to go to Mass. Nobody's forcing us to go to Mass, right? So I'm so glad that you are doing that, and more power to you, Mary. Be ready for the next. Remember, our God doesn't stop moving. He doesn't stop tapping, and he doesn't stop moving. It's not like, okay, I got Mary. She's doing great, and I'll just work on this person over here. He's constantly moving and trying to get us more and more closer to him on this side of the veil and deeper in the relationship. So Mary, awesome. You are incredible. Keep us posted, and God bless you for calling in during this wonderful broadcast. Keep this broadcast and let your family hear it. I think it's incredible. God bless you, Mary. I'm going to get to Maria because I'm going to run out of time because I've got to go fast now. Maria's in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Maria. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. You go right ahead.
This is something that has been going on for a while, and I'm asking my guardian angel to just give me strength because I cry every time I speak of this. And it's not a lot because I know that a lot of people don't believe. Every time the priest starts to bless the host, my body starts shaking. My heart, it feels like it's going to come out. And it's overpowering. There are times that I just cry after receiving him. I cry and I cry, but it's not a sorrowful cry. It's a cry that I can't even put words to. And it's humbling that a sinner like me can have him, receive him, love him. And I don't know, I cannot explain, and I need somebody to tell me what it is that happens to me.
Sure. Okay. So I can help you a little bit from what I know. Cause again, with just like Mary's story, she had a visual mystical encounter of our Lord in the tabernacle. Okay. And what you're experiencing, Maria, is another mystical gift of emotionally connecting to the heart of the Eucharist. And some people call it the gift of tears. There's other variations of it, but the bottom line is you are absolutely moved with emotion as the Holy Spirit is called down and that bread and that wine is turned into the body and blood of Jesus. And it truly is the body and blood of Jesus, you know, the big words like transubstantiation and things of that nature. But the epiclesis, when the priest, in the person of Christ calls down the Holy Spirit, it is absolutely a genuine, complete, change where heaven and earth meet. And so you are entering into that mystical experience in a very physical way. Now, did this start happening your whole life? Did it happen at a certain time in your life? Did you have a major conversion or a major reversion? Or did you have something of a traumatic thing that happened in your life that after that, the Lord blessed you with this gift? Could you answer that?
Let me tell you, I've been praying the rosary for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And for the past 10 years, that's when I started asking our Blessed Mother to help me forgive the abandonment of my birth mother, trying to understand. And, they say that your time is not God's time. So it took a while. But one day, here in my kitchen, I have a picture of our Blessed Mother. I literally fell on my knees and started crying, sobbing like a little kid, and saying, literally screaming, I said, Lord, take this pain, take this hate, take everything.
Sure.
Take it. I don't want it. I don't want to carry it with me. It's yours, Lord. Do with it what you will. But I cannot. I cannot carry this anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have forgiven.
Wow.
And I have forgiven with all my heart. And it's not because of me. I know it's the grace of God working.
Mm-hmm. Then your heart is pure.
That's when I started feeling that.
Okay. So there you go. And that what a beautiful journey you've been on. But you leaned on Our Lady. You count on our Lord. You made this gigantic leap of faith and trust and everything that you had to put in to forgive. So what did you do? You freed your heart. You freed your heart. So your heart is seeing. Your heart is relating to the Eucharist. Of course you're gonna be filled with emotion. That's what Padre Pio, how he used to respond, how other saints used to respond. When the heart is pure and you're seeing it clearly without the blocks of sin and unforgiveness and things that are holding us back, the resistance that keeps us from truly feeling all of the effects of what Our Lady sees, what the Blessed Mother sees. We're not going to get as close to that of the Blessed Mother. Okay. But we try to, right? We try to get as close as we possibly can. And so you have opened up your heart. It has pierced deep inside of you and has broken you open into the most clean vessel, if you will, you know, without any tarnish of that, of any kind of unforgiveness. Because remember, what's going to land us in purgatory for the longest quote unquote time is unforgiveness. So what you did is you broke that open, and now the Lord and Our Lady can walk with you. And as you experience, of course, you're going to, in my opinion, you're going to have a deeper mystical understanding of it. And that is going to be, you're going to be moved with emotion, just like the saints were. Does that confirm what you're feeling? Because just, I would accept it, and I would let the Lord teach you more and more and more, and also inspire you to do what you can do to help others. Because honestly, your story, Maria, you should tell everybody about that, because most people are holding on to some form of unforgiveness. So I think you're a beautiful testament today for all of us. Does that help you? Does that
tell
bring
them
you?
That.
Yeah.
And I tell them that they need to forgive. They need to let go of that anger and learn to forgive, because that weight just comes off of your shoulders and you see life in a different way and you see God's way, His will, more openly.
Amen. Amen. I hope it brought you peace today to share. Thank you. You call us anytime. I think you're just a beautiful soul, and we need to hear more from you, Maria. Okay? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to get to Al in Denver, Colorado. I just want to share tomorrow morning, tomorrow, Saturday, October 4th, is St. Francis of Assisi feast day. We know how popular he is, and we want to celebrate in just a really intentional way. But also on this day, tomorrow, Saturday, is Father Mark Mary Christina's 22nd anniversary of ordination and his birthday. So please wish Father Mark Mary, it's all over social media, you can wish him there too, a happy birthday and on his anniversary of ordination. Al in Denver, Colorado on Catholic Radio Network, you're up next. Welcome. Hello, Al. Are you with us?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. it is Al, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're from Denver, Colorado. Okay, go ahead.
I usually, when I'm going to go to sleep, I usually imagine myself going spiritually in front of the tabernacle and asking the Lord to help me accompany Him during my night while I'm sleeping, so that He would be accompanied, especially in the places where He is the where he is very solitary, right?
Right.
And so I one of those times that I was talking about that, I think that I don't know if it was I was sleeping or I was looking something with the heart or something. But what happened was is I saw the mountains and I saw our Lord, and he was in a wall, kind of like from a mountain. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at him, and I was a little bit sad. I'm going to be honest. I was a little bit sad because I was thinking this is such a cold place for him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying to him, and then I look around, and I don't see him in the mountains anymore. So I get very alarmed, and I'm looking everywhere to see if there's a person around there that took him or something. And then something points to my heart, so I look at my heart, and I see my heart, but I also see that the Holy Host is there.
Mm.
And so that made me so happy, because that to me was a message of this is the place where I like to be. And that was very emotional for me. It gave me so much hope, especially because I was going through a very dry period in prayer.
Mm, okay.
So that moved me a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I bet if you close your eyes, you can go right back to that experience, correct?
Yeah. Well, I usually in these experiences of closing my eyes and going where he is, especially mm-hmm. the lonely places, sometimes it's very hard because mm-hmm. he would show you the ugly things that are happening at some points in sure. the in places where the Holy Host is not a door or where mm-hmm. they are opening the tabernacles or things like that. He mm-hmm. would show you.
Wow. So you've got you've got a sensitivity to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe I am, or maybe it's the Lord that is telling me this is what happens. So pray for
right.
in reparation too, right?
Right, right, right. Pray in I was just going to say that. Wow. Okay, another amazing story and encounter. This is incredible. I wish I had longer to speak with you, Al. You got to call back again. I would love to hear more of your spiritual journey. Absolutely. And I just wanted to quickly, I want to squeeze in Tom because I think we might have an urgent situation here in Lakewood, Ohio on EWTN.com. Thank you again, Al. And real quickly, quick comment from Maria that called in. We had a wonderful contributor of Take Two said, Maria is one with Mary at the foot of the cross. Wow. See, all of the Take Two family is impacted by these stories. This is incredible. Tom, you've got 2 minutes, but please tell me what's going on. There's a struggle here.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Tom. You got a couple minutes. I wanted to squeeze you in. What's cooking?
Oh, well, I'll try to do it in a couple minutes. First time call, by the way, on this program for you. Anyhow, let's see. I believe so much, of course, that Jesus truly is present in the Blessed Sacrament. And, of course, I go near him in the tabernacle many times. But my problem is, I keep thinking, like whenever I see the confession, bear with me, sometimes my voice goes out. Mm-hmm. Since I got physical issues, too. I feel like I'm not doing it the way the church teaches, right? So therefore, maybe there goes the voice. Sorry, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, therefore, maybe I shouldn't go to communion. So many times, even though I want to receive Jesus, I think that voice.
Right.
I can't receive him.
Right.
I better not because I don't want to.
Right.
Take the risk of a sacrilegious communion.
Right. So, okay. Okay, yeah. So let me stop you only because you're going to hear the music. Tom, that is what we call a little bit, you could be borderline a little bit into scrupulosity. So here's what I need you to do, Tom. You need to go to a priest, a trusted priest that you have at the parish or a deacon, sit down with them and share with them sometimes that you have these feelings. You're not alone. This is very common for Catholics, okay? So, but you want to get it right in your head when you feel feel confident and worthy enough to receive the Lord, and when it's best not to. But you want to establish this baseline understanding so you can have your most confident spiritual life, Tom. Because even though a lot of saints struggled with scrupulosity, it is something that it can be managed, but it's a very difficult type of spiritual life to live. I know, because I have many family members who struggled with scrupulosity. So Tom, get to a deacon or a priest that you trust and sit down and just share, and so that you can feel at peace and comfort, and you can have the joy knowing you are receiving our Lord and Savior in the Eucharist worthily. Okay, Tom, I wish I had longer. You could call back on a future show or Unscripted or next month's Real Presence, and I will definitely make more time for you. The other callers, we're not going to get to you today on YouTube, Facebook. I'm waving to you guys. Love all of you. Check out The Spirit World tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. We're talking about God is love. God is love. I think you're going to love it. You can call in there as well. That's with my co-host, Adam Bly. And so I want to thank Michael, Matt, and Pedro. Thank you so much to the show team. Thanks to the affiliates. And now everybody can start your weekend. Have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.